Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us to this series of talks, A New Life with the Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello. Hello, Nitza Mazuz. Hello. And you're joining us here to these series of talks where we are trying to understand and learn from the Rav Lightman. What is this new life that we can create here and now between us here and in the state of Israel from all of these crises that we're experiencing and that are getting worse and worse every day? How can we create a new future that is full of hope and walk towards something better? So Rav Lightman, we've been receiving, after these talks that we've been having, a lot of responses and questions. And as you can see, I have all these pages here with all these responses from people that are really very curious about these things that you've been saying. And the subject that is maybe the root of our talk today and the direction that is most attractive to continue with is a sort of demand that you will explain and guide us as citizens here of Israel to a place of self-examination or self-criticism, because there's a feeling in society that we've kind of lost our way. We came here over 60 years ago and we began to build a society here, and on the way we created all these processes, we went through all these processes, and we see that we're not happy with what's happening. So what the public is thinking and feeling is that, how did we come to this unpleasant place? Because we started out in this very good place where we were all working together to create a state out of nothing. And there's a simple logic that's saying if we understand what happened to us, then from that we'll be able to understand what's most important, what we can do from now onwards in order to make it so that every citizen in the country, for example, myself, I'm a working father, I have four children, my wife also works, so that we will be able to live here with some hope, with some minimal sense of security, that things will be all right. So perhaps if you could begin to walk us through the analysis of these processes that we went through, we'll be able to advance from here onwards. So first of all, I don't think this is a problem only in the state of Israel, but all over the world. So this only strengthens our research, which is very relevant. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, the process that we're going through is something the whole world is going through at a different pace in accordance to the extent of the development and the mentality of each country and people and nation. So this development is called the development of the ego. I remember that about 35 years ago, around the time of the War of Kippurim, there was hysteria in the army, and soldiers decided to lock their personal suitcases, their bags. Even when you put your stuff on the tanks, you would close it with your personal lock. It was so I was then in the Air Force, I worked with electronics. And I remember how much it was unpleasant and it wasn't good, but out of no choice. And I saw how it happened in the army over the years that I worked there. I saw that, yeah, there was an acceptance of this. It was already okay and became a habit. And it's the same with each and everything. We can't oppose or resist it. And of course, when it comes to nature, then we can't continue to keep the same structures as before. Also, in the family, with inside my relationship with my spouse, there are all these nostalgic songs about the old Tel Aviv and how everything used to be good and everything used to be successful. Good things, there's nothing you can say, but the process is the process, and the development is the development. And you know, if you take, if we see that even in Egypt and Greeks and in Rome, even in Babylon, they found such writings that where people are complaining that the new generation is not as good as the old generation and the kids don't want to listen to their parents. Even 3,000 and 4,000 years ago, that would happen. So it's a process that we're going through. We can't stop it. We just need to understand whether what we're doing is in accordance to nature. Does it advance our development or not? Whether it's not opposed to our natural development. Or maybe we're creating a kind of stop here that's artificial and not allowing ourselves and our children to grow. For example, by closing our children off in a kibbutz and not letting them out, not letting them escape, which happened in a few places. And when we examine this, we understand that especially the development that we're going through now is an opposite development, because we have finished this sort of egoistic development. We reached a final collapse of it. And now we need to enter this cooperation, this connection, this relationship. And it's not necessarily in order to survive, like nature is compelling us to do, but because all the forms that are being revealed right now, all the forms that are being revealed in human society, are a distortion of the egoistic, even the egoistic development, because people are beginning to eat each other up, and the competition is not constructive, it's destructive. It doesn't add to us anything. We are not creating very new good things where people are developing and yet caring for the development of the environment, like we saw in our development, in the development of capitalism. I remember that I would look at capitalism from Russia, and it was clear to me that in Russia it will... Everything will be ruined, finally, this regime and whatever development would happen, because they would repress the human nature to develop. They made it mandatory for people to be inside society and not to receive a higher salary. And if you wanted to develop something new, they wouldn't let you, because by that you might stick out from the crowd. So this artificial break or stop of development is what destroyed the country. And when I would look at America or Europe and the way Europe got up after the Second World War, and within 15 years you couldn't even see that... there was a total destruction. No, everything was nice and clean and risen up, and everything flourished. And the same with America and in Russia. You saw that if you took a project where you put all your force and money into it, like the space program, then that succeeded. But actually, each person was as if he was captive. So it was clear that competition and the development according to the private ego of the person was the good development which brought an addition to each and every person. Until a certain time in which there began to be a sort of distortion in this, that this competition began to add to itself not free competition, but some sort of personal limits. Let's say I create a sort of club with all kinds of norms, and we do something against another club, let's say in trade or industry. So we're beginning to play with it. The Americans left the gold. Which they weighed dollar by dollar, they weighed and transferred it to papers that are meaningless, that are valueless, and all kinds of things like that. So here, we felt that the ego, when it grows, it gives a good result as long as it's for the sake of the development. But if it's not for the sake of the development, but only for private gain that comes at any price, after a certain point onwards, then it begins to create bubbles that have no actual development in them. Well, you know, there are all these researches about what happened. That they manufactured light bulbs that could operate for 10,000 hours, and then they saw that this wasn't profitable, so they lowered the quality so that they would only work for 1,000 hours, and then even less. So then you're not progressing, your ego isn't progressing the industry and trade and a person's life in each place. In medicine, they would manufacture medicines that were good, and people would enjoy this medication and all kinds of tools. And suddenly they began to manufacture medicines that were not needed, and to sell them only so that people would buy them everywhere. So in each and everything that we attained before using competition, using our ego, and we reached good accomplishments, suddenly it disappeared. Because suddenly the competition was not clean. It wasn't for the sake of the citizen or the country or the world at the end of the day. It was for the sake of private gain at any price, and that's it. And if there's somebody in front of me, aside from me, I kill him. In some way, physically or otherwise, so that I'll be on my own. And if I can do it lawfully, then I manufacture whatever I feel like and I sell it, because there's no other choice, and people will buy it. And if they don't want to buy it, then I pass some law so that they'll buy it by force or something. So then we saw that starting around the 60s of the previous century in America and in Europe, it happened a bit later because the war had its effect, and there was a bigger market, and also the countries are different in Europe. Germany, as opposed to Greece and Italy, that would produce. So because of these differences, the market was more varied. But actually, we reach a state in which the ego has begun to work against us. And the positive competition for the sake of the citizen and the country stopped. And instead of that, we began to see protectionism and artificial laws. all kinds of things that cause us a lot of problems these days. In order for us to advance. And our ego in all kinds, on all levels and fields, in the parts of society and industry and in education and in everything, it began to work in a distorted way. It went through a kind of, I'd say, distortion or mutation. A spoiling. A corruption. So, because instead of working towards the being powerful and to advance, we began to use it for artificial purposes. To succeed at any price. And that's it. So for a few dozens of years, that's what's been happening. So I know that 30 or 35 years ago, when I was a young scientist, let's say 40 years, that's more accurate, towards age 30, then being a scientist was something very respected and honorable, and it was enough for you to bring a good, a nice idea that is for the benefit of science, of man, of the country, the development of technology or trade or industry, anything. Then you could advance, and you were able to advance these things because humanity was interested in something new. And you were able to go forward with it, where you have nothing but this one good idea. And then I left science when I was about 30. Maybe even before that, when I began my aliyah to Israel and everything. And now when I correspond with my friends from the past and hear what's happening with them, that they also began like I did and became scientists, I correspond with them. They told me how suddenly it began to be distorted, to be corrupted, because it wasn't important for anyone whether you have a good idea or not. But everything is according to protectionism, and if you could receive money for it and maybe divide it in a way that would be nice for everyone. Favoritism, excuse me. So, and the whole purpose was to receive some medal, honor, a nice name for yourself, and nothing more. So they took out from the human ego the things that would advance it in honor, in knowledge, with man's desire to control nature. And it doesn't exist anymore. Every occupation of man it doesn't have the healthy human ego in it anymore, the kind that advances you, that advances the environment, that can better the environment and benefit it. They began to ruin nature, for example, and nobody cares what happens. This didn't happen before. They used to care for the environment. Man has become so narrow-minded that it's like you can't control it anymore. You can't approach a person these days and talk to them about doing things for the sake of everyone, for the greater good. Like you see that is happening. Do we have the strength to handle the ecological crisis? No. Except for journalists that write everywhere about what's happening. Well, let them write. It's their job. But that's it. Actually, nobody cares. The ego went through a mutation and it became destructive. And now, as we are talking about the correct use of the human ego, we need to bring to it the acknowledgement of evil. In what ways is my ego good, and in what ways is it bad? Because aside from ego, we don't have anything. We have a desire to advance, to do something. To enjoy to the maximum and make a minimum effort. This is true for each and every cell, each plant, each animal. They always think this way. If you look at a cat or a wolf or some plant or anything, it's always how to optimally waste as least energy as possible and gain as much as possible. This is the law of life in each measure of time and in each and everything, also in the inanimate, in the still life. It always finds the state and conditions of life in which it can hold itself together in the safest way. And so therefore, if we go with this nature, we only need to see how we can today, instead of the destruction that we've been causing through our ego, and if it continues to develop onwards, then we see that since we began to use our ego in these mutated forms, distorted forms, then we've begun to create all kinds of problems for ourselves. We didn't see them right away, but over time, you can see more clearly what we've arrived at. So how can we somehow go back or see which is the correct use of our desire, of our human desire to fulfill itself, to advance, to flourish, and prosper? And where does it go beyond this correct approach and where we are already creating problems for ourselves? So if we make this calculation, this examination, criticism, if we study it, we see that if a person uses his ego in a personal way, in a private way, very quickly brings him to the decision that he wants to feel good at the expense of others at any price. And this is where we need to put the emphasis. So then, if you want to use our nature correctly, you need to make this calculation. Where the benefit of the private person and the benefit of society will always be tied together. So here we understand that in order for a person to have such an approach to the environment, to humanity, to himself, to everyone, to the family also, and to everything. He needs to be educated. He needs to understand things. He can't be like this out of air to relate to things properly. He won't. We see that naturally our ego in all the different fields. We've reached this general crisis and destruction. It's a multi-crisis in education, in the family, in trade, in industry, in everything that we deal with, because it's our general nature, and so there's a crisis in everything that we deal with. So if we want to use human nature in the correct way, we need to catch this point where the attitude or approach towards oneself is the same and equal to the approach and attitude towards society. And a person needs to feel and understand that he is part of society, an integral part of society. And if he takes himself out of society and thinks that he can be better off than the rest of society in any way, that already brings him destruction. If he removes himself, then he'll reach this destruction. And in anything, if I think that I can be better off than others, I immediately enter a crisis. But this is actually what we need to do, because all of this surplus of ego that we have, as opposed to the still life, the vegetative level, and the animals, we use it at the expense of others, and we harm others by it. And we need to use it for the good of others and for the good of society. Even nature, all the other levels, the still and vegetative and animal levels, we need to see all of these levels of our environment together integrally. It's all the same, in other words. And then if I care for everyone equally, because I understand that in such a system where everything is tied together and interdependent, it's not possible for one part to be better off than the other in order for the entire system to be in balance. But in order to bring this to the awareness of each and every one, I need this education, a very powerful system of education. I need public opinion. I need laws and regulations that are clear. Where we put such barriers to the egoistic development that is destructive and distorted. Because human nature will always be this way, so we need to have public opinion and rules and all kinds of limitations in order to stabilize a person in each and every moment in a way that we will constantly educate him and stabilize him in order for him to be together with society until such a state in which society will receive such a power, such force, and awareness, self-awareness, an atmosphere, this force field that will be present in society, that a person won't be able to leave it. We learned this in that part of our study that's called the free choice, that a person is a result of his environment. And if we create such a good environment, and over a few years it will stabilize itself in such a way, and it will influence all of its members in a large field or even in the entire world, then gradually both society and those that were educated inside it will receive these limitations in a natural way, where they think only for the good of the greater good. And of course, I am part of this public, so then I will have what everyone has. And before we build such limitations in society, so that it will be clear for each and every person how and to what extent it's desirable for him to use his ego and how much it isn't in each thing and place and in every occupation that he has, I don't think that we can exit this crisis, because it stems from the overuse of man's ego. exaggerated use. So we see that all these forms that we are standing opposed from, the form of nature that we are completely destroying it, we want to make everything artificial, and we don't care what we're doing to Earth. We think that this whole system will, the most important thing is my own benefit, and I don't care what will happen in a generation from now. Look at how our ego doesn't allow us to balance our lives in the right way. What am I preparing for my children, for my grandchildren? There's nothing I can do. I look at myself and see that although I love them, I don't care. I don't care what will happen. I can't see the future. This is the extent to which the ego blocks my sight, and I'm aware of it, but there's nothing I can do about it. Why? I personally can't do anything. If you ask me, I know that I destroy society, that I destroy nature, that I do this and that, that I use all kinds of things that are destructive, that are harmful to everything. Why can't I stop myself? Because there is no public opinion on this matter. Because that will make me feel that I'm together with others all the time. Because I belong to the human system. And whatever is accepted there, whether I want to or not, I respect that. Even the worst things, I can respect them. The most harmful, I can respect them if that's what everybody thinks. This is how I'm built. And so until we instill into this wide range of human society in the country this knowledge, this understanding that we need to balance our ego and not let it grow beyond where it's already not in consideration with the greater good, with the public, until we bring this knowledge to a wide circle, to humanity. Until then, we won't be able to succeed personally, as much as each of us has the good desires and intentions, we won't be able to behave well, to do good. So then what I'm saying is that in every situation, there's nothing we can do but educate. But education. But in order to begin with this education, with the general public, with the people, you can turn to it with these nice short explanations about what gain and profit he will have if he begins to connect, to think of others, to be considerate of everyone. And see himself as not detached from the general public. We need to awaken the force of unity, of arvut, of mutual guarantee in the people. I'm finished for now. How does this process that you described here of the development of human nature in the past dozens of years, you spoke of starting with the 60s, how do you see it happening here in the Israeli society? What happened in all over the world, in America, in Europe? No, you describe a system here that I understand it's global. Yeah, let me just add that in China it still hasn't reached this. It's only beginning now, or in South America. Right, clear, but you explain the process in which the human ego is becoming corrupted and mutated and distorted, and that's where our troubles begin. Right, that instead of advancing us to this good form of prosperity of man in society, it only works in the favor of the profit of private people, even at the expense of general destruction. of the destruction of the environment. Right. So if you look at this process happening in Israel that was established about 60 years ago, what kind of process did the society go through? Because when they established the state, there was an event of unity, of connection. Because here you say that we need to awaken this force of arvud, of mutual guarantee. I think we had this in us from before because we were a developed people, and all these people that came from exile to Israel were all very capable of building everything that we built here. And this bad competition, it existed in Israel from the establishment of the country and even before. What do you think? All these companies like Egged and Tnuva, these big capitalistic organizations, they were this way from the start. Not to give others to establish themselves and to compete with them and so on. We are a developed people with a developed ego. And so here, it didn't happen like in the rest of the world, not in pace and not at the same time. I think this is also what we went through at the time of the destruction of the temples. Where did it come from? From hatred. Also here, when I want to profit at any price, and even if you are right, I want to destroy you. This is the hatred. Instead of love, or at least even a neutral feeling, it's the same ego that works in us in this mutated way. Okay, so we're a society in which these processes happen in a slightly different dynamics than in the other nations. It's faster, it's more prominent. So if we leave that for a moment, because our purpose today is to understand where we're standing now, where we are today, the Israeli society, what are the reasons for this bad situation in which we find ourselves, and from there, how can we go forward? So this analysis of our development, the development of our ego from an advancing, progressive, constructive ego that leads us to a better state for the greater good, to the mutation in which it's only for private gain, only for self-interest, at the expense of everyone else. So where and on this scale of development can you analyze our current state today of Israeli society, and where are we going? The problem is that although we are a developed people, we have a very special society. On the one hand, we are a people that at its foundation is not divided into parts. Each one feels that he's equal to the others. Each and every person can walk up to the prime minister to give him a nice pat on the back and compliment him and talk to him in this fashion. And this is something that can't happen anywhere else, where they have a kind of fear or subordination, a feeling of status and hierarchy of all kinds. So what we have here, I don't know how to express this. There are a number of things here together that are creating in us and in our nation the ability to reach the acknowledgement of evil, in this distorted attitude that happened to us when we took example from capitalism and inserted it in at any price. So of course we couldn't do this before because we were undergoing and we saw this nice result from the capitalistic development where each and every person who invested in this with using his ego he brought himself to profits and also to the flourishing of the entire country. But again, this egoistic development, in this development we surpass we went past a certain point where the attitude of a person towards himself and society became to succeed at any price, and no matter, even if it's at the expense of society and other people. And that became the tone. And we continued until now. We see it very clearly in our members of parliament. We see it everywhere that we manufacture things. I don't care if it's good or bad. And in short, we only think of private gain. We think that this is the beneficial capitalistic form that can bring us gain. And prosperity. So from now on, when I begin to see that contradicts already in the 60s, there was this Club of Rome, this is what it was called, and they began to talk about the world entering a great crisis and that we can't advance in this way and we can't go on in this way, that there's something we must do. It's these all kinds of companies like Fiat and in Italy and Olivetti, this approach developed there of scientists and industry leaders. They felt it, that it's impossible to continue this way. It's also clear to any thinking person that if we are one system, then it's impossible for one person to develop at the expense of others. It's like cancer in the body that is eating up the others. And then later also dies itself once the body dies because it has nothing else to feed on. Life only happens thanks to balance. And we learn that from all forms of life, on all the levels, the still, the vegetative, the animal. We can learn this from our body, from the harmony between all its parts. This is actually the extent of health of the living body. And it's the same in human society. The harmony between all its parts, it needs to give us the measurement of the strength and power of society. Its ability to give each and every one internal satisfaction and fulfillment, both emotional and material. It all depends on the extent to which society takes care and has concern for each and every person, and also generally the approach here needs to be in its basis. This way. But for that, we need education, we need advocacy, we need to prepare people, and we haven't done it. Although society has been in this distortion in the past 30 or 40 years, gradually we saw this descent. And there are a lot of researches about it, and a lot of people know these things, these things that I'm saying. But all in all, We haven't done any corrections in our society, not for our children, and we haven't renovated anything, and also not for ourselves. And then it turns out that we're behind. We've allowed our ego to run ahead in all kinds of forms that are unhealthy and are distorted. And we didn't make any corrections on the way, not for ourselves and not for the new generation. So we're now in a state where we don't know what to do with the crisis. And what is this crisis? It's that same distorted approach that reached such states that, in like cancer, that eats its environment and then dies itself together with its environment that it kills. We reached such a state. And today, it's as if there is no way back. We can't see forward or backwards, and we don't know what to do. And all of humanity is in such a state right now. And it's clear to each thinking person that we are in a state that endangers the existence of the human race. Either through wars, atomic wars, or the ecological problems, or hunger, or famine, and who knows what kind of illnesses and plagues could happen. We're so weak now that we don't know how to deal with anything. All we can do is deal with fires. That if we have a crisis here, like a tsunami here or a fire there, we can take them out. But we continue in the same direction. You see how countries now, states, are trying to cause other countries to enter all kinds of problems and clashes, like in Libya and Egypt and in Syria and so on. And all this Arab Spring that we saw, we see it's this ego, it won't stop. It's not stopping to operate, to work in this destructive way. And this crisis is not a crisis, it's a natural result, a soft result. We've been talking about it for at least 10 years before in 2008, whenever they felt this, when the bubble erupted and they felt this crisis. We talked about it at least 10 years before. And who was interested in hearing it? Nobody. Who's interested now? Even now, after all these blows, people are standing before such a collapse that they don't know what to do. They're still unable to hear. Why? Because this bribe is blocking their eyes. The ego that is inside them, in their nature, in such a way that's already exaggerated, it doesn't allow them to hear that we have to move to this new track, these new tracks where the good of society and the good of the private person is one and the same. Otherwise, we're creating this cancer inside our body. The individual eats up the general public society. It's really the same illness, just like in the human body. This destructive growth, it's the same in society. Therefore, what's left for us? We can't make any changes for the better in industry and trade, in the education system, in the health system. We see that the destruction is so active in these systems that we're throwing away so much money, we're investing so much money that is so useless. Schools have become something, I don't even want to use the words, I don't want to use vulgar words, And the health system is operating not for the good of people, but in order to get money out of people. And even they sell them things that are unnecessary and unhealthy and do operations that are unnecessary and whatnot. Everything because of competition and in order to get as much as possible from the public financial resources. So if we don't begin with the education of the people, we won't be able to make any corrections. And it will continue until the human race will reach wars and a general destruction and hunger. And of course, all kinds of blows that we are seeing even now, that millions are going out on the streets without work. And then they'll go on the street in order to destroy the state and the government and so on, each person in his place. Only education. How to approach it? We need to understand, and here also, we need to understand that here we, as this developed people, nation, as a small country, we are in a much more sensitive place to all these changes in comparison to the rest of the countries that, first of all, they don't have such neighbors as we have. They don't have this problem with security that we have. They also don't have dependency that is so strong on other nations as we have. We have nothing here in the bor within the borders of this country that allows existence in a way that is independent and free. And so we're very, very dependent on others. And it's here that we, especially in the state of crisis, need to understand that nobody will come and help us. And even the opposite. They'll want to destroy us in accordance to the nature of each and every nation towards the people of Israel. And also subconsciously, they're in demand of us that we will bring a solution. A solution for the situation. Otherwise, they will blame us as usual and everything. From the smallest things that you see how our neighbors accuse us. They killed them, and it's clear to everyone, no, that the Israeli did it. It's not on purpose. It's in human nature. It exists in their nature. It's not that they have the power to plan it and this sophistication. It's natural that they feel this naturally, that it's truly this way. If you ask him, he'll look at you in the eyes like a baby and tell you, yes, of course, that's the way it is. And you'll tell him 1,001 excuses. How is this possible? And where was I? And where was he? And I don't want these things, but you can't convince them. It's in their soul. It's in their natural knowingness, their inner knowingness in each and every person of the nations of the world that Israel is to blame for each and every bad thing in the world. And we exist in a very dangerous state because all of our supporters until today are about to leave us, first of all, because they themselves are in collapse, and secondly, because in their development, it's already the time to reach this decision that that's it, it's enough. And then they leave us and they even destroy us, as we've seen in these protests that we had here in Israel. It was all, of course, the doing of those governments, the foreign governments, that are considered as supporters of Israel. And therefore, we need to understand that we mustn't wait for anyone. But we need to bring the method of correction, that is, first of all, the method of integral education, to the Israeli nation. And the moment that we begin to do this, we'll see that it's completely suited for it. It's so right for it, because in each and every heart there is a natural preparation for this that doesn't exist in the nations of the world, but in the Jewish heart it is there. There is a preparation to be together, to be united, to be equal. Together with this big ego, there is closeness, there is a preparation. And therefore, all we need is to know how to approach it. But we will see this good acceptance. A good welcome of this. This is very nice. Nitsa, say something. Our talk is almost up. Well, actually, the explanation that you gave, it was fascinating. It was explained, and it's so simple and easy to understand what happened to us and how we reached the point in which we're actually in this state of illness. Maybe we can get from our friends who are economists a few points of where it was that humanity started going from healthy competition to distorted competition. I can't actually say that I have this lack of language here. Where was the point where the ego stopped developing and where the distortion began, the corruption? Yes, in each country and society, it happened differently. So now, only so we can close this conversation on a positive note, we know that also, even after a person begins to understand that he's ill, it's already a good stage, because he understands that he needs to begin to heal himself. Before that, he wasn't even aware he needed to go through a process of healing. Therefore, we need to bring the doctor. The doctor who heals the brokenhearted, as is written. So on this optimistic note, we have to finish our talk because our time is up. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you, our viewers, for being with us. Come in our next show and we'll begin to deal with medicine and heal human society and bring a new life. Until then, all the best and goodbye.